Good morning. As I mentioned, since this is the fifth Sunday, one of the elders was scheduled to preach, and that's me. And I did have one other announcement that I forgot to make earlier. This evening, we have scheduled a missionary from Ghana to come and speak to us. I will have to double check with him to see if he's in Champaign. And whether he could get out and get over here. But assuming he can, we will have him talking about a work he's doing in Ghana, in Africa, this evening. But you got me this morning, so we'll start. I want to thank everybody for coming out, given the weather and the difficulties, and we appreciate it. I've seen a bumper sticker on occasion that says something to the effect, we are spending our children's inheritance. And those people had desired that they were going to enjoy what they have, and their children may be expecting something, but they're probably not going to get what they think they're going to get. And indeed, people are often disappointed with inheritances. It takes too long to get the money. It's not as much money as they thought it would be. Their relatives who they love, sometimes they end up fighting with each other. It becomes a very unpleasant experience for some. As a lawyer, I see the ones who end up in court. They're so unhappy with each other. And to be honest, that usually ends up with less money for everybody except the lawyers. But inheritances are fickle. They're not necessarily going to be what you expect them to be, but we have an inheritance. And that one is sure. And Emmanuel read the scripture in 1 Peter where he tells us that we have this inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and will not fade away and is reserved in heaven for us. We have this inheritance, this certainty that we will be with the Lord, that Jesus died on the cross for us, and that he rose from the dead. And because of that, he rose to go to heaven. And it is that certainty that he not just is our atoning sacrifice, but the fact that he rose from the dead gives us the hope that we too will rise, and we will be with the Lord in heaven and have an inheritance that will not go away. Paul describes to us how that's going to happen in 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4, starting at verse 14, he tells us, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." That Jesus died and rose and went to heaven, and we will be with him. We will rise and have that inheritance with him. And Paul goes on to show us, to describe what's going to happen. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive will remain and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We will be with the Lord when the trumpet sounds and when he comes for us. And we will get that inheritance that he promised us." Paul describes it in more detail in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, where he tells us that we will become immortal. In 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 50, Paul tells us, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall all sleep, but we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We shall be changed. We shall be put on incorruption. We shall put on immortality, and we shall be with, and that is our inheritance that is certain and sure. It cannot be destroyed. It is incorruptible. The other aspect about wealth here is that it's not certain, that it is corruptible, that it can go away. That Jesus tells us in Matthew 6 in the Sermon on the Mount that our treasures on the earth may be destroyed, may decay, and rust may come in, they may be rusted, and moths may destroy. It's a paraphrase of what he says in the Sermon on the Mount. But things that we think are valuable may go away here on earth. I remember a TV show, I watch a lot of TV, and this fictional baseball player hit a home run that broke the single season home run record. And the guy who was in the stands who caught the ball was going to be rich. He was convinced he was going to be rich. He was going to auction the ball off and make a fortune. Unfortunately, before the end of the show, he dropped the ball onto his floor in his apartment. And his dog grabbed it as a chew toy and chewed it up to oblivion, and the ball was gone. His treasure was gone. Treasure could be destroyed. You know, that's fictional, but we have a real story that is going on right now about treasure being destroyed. The crown jewels in France, $100 million worth of their crown jewels were stolen, and they're gone. And in the news reports, they report the experts guess or surmise that they'll probably never be found, that the precious metals will be melted down and sold, and the gems will be recut into smaller stones, and it'll just be gone. Even that kind of treasure could be gone. Relying on treasures on earth, they could be gone, but our inheritance in heaven is certain. It is incorruptible. It is undefiled. When the last trumpet sounds, we shall be changed, and we shall take on the immortality that Paul describes in Thessalonians and in Corinthians, and we will be with the Lord. And Peter tells us we have a living hope because of the death and resurrection of Christ. Because of that eternity that is guaranteed for us, that eternity is sure and certain. And so, what does that mean for us? Paul and Peter both tell us what our response should be. They give their insight into our response to the fact that we have this living hope of this inheritance. In 1 Peter, he tells us about that inheritance in the beginning of chapter 1 that Emmanuel read, that it is incorruptible and undefiled and reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith. And there in verse 13 of chapter 1, he draws some conclusions about what we should do because of that fact that we have this hope, that it is certain. Starting in verse 13, he says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to your former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves through the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, for your aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of the Lamb without blemish and without spot, that we are. And then finally in verse 22, reading there, he tells you, since you have been purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So he tells us to gird up the loins of our mind and to rest fully in the hope of grace that's given to us, and to be holy, to conduct ourselves with fear and awe of the Lord, and to love each other. Paul similarly said, we read at the end of 1 Corinthians 15, he said, therefore, my beloved, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labors are not in vain in the Lord. Because they both conclude that because we have this hope, this certainty of heaven, we should be devoted to God. It's work. He says, gird up the loins of your mind. That means get ready, be determined, and be steadfast, and rest in knowing that you're in the Lord. Always trust in the Lord. We will have trouble in this life. People have challenges right now, right here in this room, serious physical challenges and other challenges. But we know that the Lord is with us, and ultimately we have that eternal hope, and we can rest in that hope and remain faithful, knowing that our inheritance is sure, knowing that Christ rose from the dead and that we have that hope. And both of them say, persevere, rest in that. And Peter says, to be holy, for I am holy. He says, because Jesus is holy, we should be holy. Holy means separated and keep ourselves pure and devoted to God. And Jesus told his apostles in the Great Commission at the end of Matthew, in Matthew 28:19, he said, go into all the world and make disciples of every nation. And we talked about this in class. Lori brought this up. A disciple is something different. A disciple is somebody who is dedicated to the Lord, who is a follower of a teacher and who tries to be like the teacher, to emulate the teacher. Our teacher is Christ, and we are to be devoted and committed to try and emulate him, to be like him. And so Peter tells us, because he is holy, to be holy. And finally, Peter tells us to love each other fervently. Fervently means intensely. It means passionately. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We need each other to make it through this world, and we are to help each other and to love each other. And Peter describes that when he says, and it's part of his conclusion, because we have this inheritance, because we are in Christ, we are a family, and we are to care and love for each other and take care of each other so that we all can persevere. And Paul similarly, as a similar idea, he says, be steadfast and immovable. We talked about being steadfast in class today, where he told the Philippians to stand fast, you know, to be strong and to be immovable. And he says, always abounding in the work of the Lord, abounding in what God wants us to do. In Ephesians 2:10, Paul tells us that Christ has good works that he has prepared for us to walk in. There are things we can do to be pleasing to God, and good works we can do to show the love of God to the world, to help people, and to share the gospel. And he's telling us to abound, because we are going to go to heaven. That's his conclusion when he describes when the trumpet comes and we turn into and we become immortal and we become with the Lord, he says, therefore, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because of that, because our labors are not in vain in the Lord, we have that hope, we have that certainty to be with God. And so we need to keep abounding and keep going. John asked me what the sermon was going to be about so he could pick songs. And the last two songs, if you think about them, what did they say? They said, to the work, because we know the Lord is going to be with us. He said, hold to God's unchanging hand, because we know that he will take care of us. And our inheritance is the reason. We know that that reason is certain and sure. And as Christians, we should rest in that hope and trust in the Lord and persevere and keep going. Our old preacher, Jeffrey King, he loved to say that there's no retiring as in Christianity. That every day you keep going for the Lord. And so every day we need to keep going and trusting in him, knowing that this eternity, this wonderful, beautiful eternity to be in heaven with the Lord, to be with him. He tells us, John describes that being with the Lord in Revelation. He describes how we are going to be there in Revelation 21, 20. He says in verse 22, I saw no temple in heaven, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city has no need for sun or moon or shine, for the glory of the Lord God illuminated it. The Lamb is the light. He goes on to say, and there shall be no night there, and there shall be no death, there shall be no, the curse will be gone, there shall be no decay, and we will be with the Lord in his presence. We won't have to worship him from afar. We will be with him. And because of that, we should be motivated to follow him and to trust in him and to persevere in this world, in our lives, because we have that rest that is certain and sure. And that hope and that rest and that motivation for us to persevere and to follow the Lord, that eternal, incorruptible, immortal life is going to be ours because we are in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, that hope is not yours. And we want it to be yours. We want you to come to Christ. We want you to become his disciple. And we give you an opportunity to do that now, to get that hope and that certainty of that new and living hope. And you can do that by coming forward now and confessing your faith in Christ and being baptized. And we invite you to do that. We ask you to do that as we stand and sing the song that's been announced.